ladies and gentlemen. This is Drew Pearson. We bring you this special radio television broadcast in order to give you the very latest information on an amazing phenomenon. The arrival of a spaceship in Washington.
I came here to give you these facts. But if you threaten to extend your violence, this earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder.
The Day the Earth Stood Still is a 1951 science fiction film, and it tells the story of this humanoid alien visitor that comes to Earth to deliver a very, very important message, and a message that will affect the entire human race. If you want to know what the message is, I think you have to watch the film. But I wonder if maybe in the near future we're going to look back at 2020 and refer to it as the year the Earth stood still. And it is interesting that on the 6th of April, 2 weeks after lockdown was announced in the UK, there was a piece of news in the Guardian newspaper. And this is what it said. Lockdown has cut Britain's vibration, seismologists say. The dramatic quietening of towns and cities in lockdown has changed the way the earth moves beneath our feet, scientists say. Seismologists at the British Geological Survey have found that their sensors are twitching less now that human activity has been curtailed, leading to a drop in the anthropogenic din, aka the human-generated noise, that vibrates through the planet. The fall in the human hum that rings around the world means that, in theory at least, the scientists should be able to detect smaller earthquakes in the UK and more distant tremors in Europe and in countries further afield than their equipment usually allows. There has also been reports of people saying that the birds are singing louder. I don't know if you noticed that. Have you heard birds singing louder now during this time of lockdown?
The birds are not singing louder. Lockdown has caused the rhythm of life on the entire planet Earth to slow down. Therefore, all the noise generated by factories, vehicles, big cities, and us humans has reduced considerably. As a result, we are able to hear the birds as well as other subtle nature sounds a lot more clearly. That is fascinating.
That is fascinating indeed. So the fact is that our perception has changed because it's more quiet around us. We are able to notice more, to notice the more subtle sounds that have always been there, but we couldn't perceive them before. John chapter 1 verse 10, talking about Jesus, says that he entered into the world he created, yet the world was unaware. So the world didn't perceive or notice God in the flesh had come into their midst. Now, perhaps Jesus didn't enter the world with a loud bang, with fireworks, neon lights, maybe as some people were expecting. And the fact of the matter is that the Father determined exactly when, where, and how his Son should come into the world. Despite several prophecies, that are over 40 of them in the Old Testament, about the coming of Jesus, where he would be born, how he would live, the kind of things that he would do, the world was still completely unaware. Verse 11 in chapter 1 says that he came to the very people he created, to those who should have recognized him, but they did not receive him. Isaiah chapter 53 gives us a detailed description of the coming Messiah 700 years earlier. And even those who were fully aware of that prophecy didn't recognize Jesus when he was standing right in front of them. Verse 12 of John chapter 1 says, "But to those who embraced him and took hold of his name were given authority to become the children of God." So I want to lay out a three-step process that can save your life if you're not sure you're saved. And these three steps are perceive, receive, and be changed. Now, perception is not mere acknowledgement in the case of Jesus that he was just a historical character or just a prophet like many others. We're not talking about that sort of mere acknowledgement. But I want to refer to perception as a two-sided coin. Well, two-sided coin. I've never seen a one-sided coin. But anyway, the two sides are the first one side is an awareness that refers to us. Awareness of the emptiness inside. We are born with parts missing. We didn't lose our passport or our driver's license when we were born. We didn't even have one. But when you lose those documents, you still know who you are. Your identity is not put in check when you don't have those documents on you. But what was missing at our birth was our identity as children of God through our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Now, sooner or later, when we become, you know, when we are aware of that inner hole, you know, and after having tried in many ways to fill that hole with the wrong things, we realize that we come, you know, we can only sort that out when we come to a close relationship with our Creator, with our Heavenly Father who loves us. That realization usually only comes after we've tried a lot of different things. I don't know if you've been trying different ways to fill that hole. Let me speed up the process for you. Just go to Jesus. He is the solution. Now, the other side of that coin is recognition that the only way that identity as children of God can be acquired is through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on the cross. The only solution to this ever-increasing emptiness caused by the orphan state we were all born into is surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ. Now, the process doesn't stop here. It's not just about recognizing that emptiness and recognizing that we need Jesus. This is not enough. We have to do something about it. And then we come to the second step of this process, which is to embrace, to receive him. So what does that mean? Embrace, receive, can also be translated as to seize, to lay hold of something and don't let it go. You know, like when someone is drowning and you throw a life ring at that person, you know, that person who's drowning will hold on to that, you know, life ring for dear life with all their strength. And many of us, when you come to Jesus, we find ourselves at the end of our rope. So we really hold on, we cling to him, you know, for dear life. Matthew chapter 7 says, "Ask and you will receive, knock and it will be open for you." So embracing and receive are actually the same word. It's not just about laying hold of something, but it also highlights the fact that we need to receive it. And Jesus was given to the world, was given to us as a gift. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord." What do you do with a free gift? You receive it. And it's just amazing that later in the book of John, in chapter 6, verse 37, it says that Jesus embraces us. And it says, "Everyone my Father has given to me, they will come. And all who come to me, I will embrace and will never turn them away." We embrace him and he embraces us back. That is amazing. Now, the third part of this process is really found in the end of verse 12, chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 12. It says, just amazing prophecy, amazing promise, actually, to those who receive and embrace him are given authority to become the children of God. And I love the way the Street Bible by Rob Lancey puts it. It says, he arrives at the front door of his people, and most don't even peek out of the spy hole to check. The few who take the risk realize who he is, open up, and knock a meal together. To these guys, he starts doling out adoption papers to sign them as God's children. Now, the right to be sons and daughters is an entitlement, and we are inserted in God's family tree. And all the rights that are, you know, that come as, you know, in the package now belong to us. We read that Jesus is an heir of the Father. And when we you know, sign those adoption papers and we become children of God, we also become rightful co-heirs with Christ. So everything in the kingdom that belongs to Jesus also belongs to us. But it also talks about that authority, talks about power to do something. It's the power to live free from condemnation, power to live free from sin, the right to come to God's throne and speak to him face to face, the power to live and love like Jesus. So the process is perceive, receive, and be changed. Those three little steps can save your life, will save your life. Now, there's a lot of people saying that, God is using this time of lockdown to give the earth a break. There have been claims that the earth is healing itself. During lockdown, there's less pollution. Animals are thriving as they enjoy more freedom. But I also believe that God is giving all of us a chance. To those who know him, he's saying, draw near, guys. Draw near, sons and daughters. To those who do not know him, he's saying, it's not too late to surrender and turn to me. So if you are struggling right now, and you know that sense of emptiness inside is a lot more evident during this difficult time, I want to lead you in a prayer to invite Jesus into your heart, to invite the solution to that emptiness into your heart. And it's not an idea, it's not a utopia or a concept, but it is a person that will open the door and lead you into a loving and restoring relationship with your Father in heaven. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for forgiving my sins. I acknowledge that I need you, and today I choose to embrace the life that only you can give. I surrender my life in your hands, and I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray this prayer, if you surrender your life to Jesus, you know, do get in touch with other Christians and you know, people who are mature Christians, and it will help you grow in your new identity as a child of God. Get in touch with us. Find us on our website. Do get in touch. We are more than happy to help you on your journey. God bless you.